you're already okay. You're already victorious. You're already blessed. So stop looking for something you have.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why we don't always feel as blessed as the Bible says we are.
It's all about Jesus Christ when it comes to experiencing the grace that you have already been given.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. You'll often hear Christians talking about seeking God's blessings. Today, Dr. Evans explains why, biblically speaking, they've missed the point, as he takes us to Ephesians chapter 3 for a look at living under grace. Let's join him.
Mr. Yates lived in Texas during the Great Depression. Mr. Yates owned a large piece of land where he raised sheep. But because of the Depression, it looked pretty apparent that Mr. Yates was going to lose his property because of the economic conditions. His property was in Texas. However, an oil company asked Mr. Yates, could they drill on his property for oil? There was a speculation that his property may have contained quite a bit of oil. When they drilled on Mr. Yates' property, they hit a gusher, and Mr. Yates immediately became a billionaire. I don't know how long Mr. Yates had his property, but for as long as he had it, he was a rich man and didn't even know it. It is unfortunate that many of God's children are spiritually like Mr. Yates, unaware of our riches in Christ Jesus. Belonging to him, but unaware of what belonging to him means. That there is, provided every believer, a gusher. Or what Paul calls in verse 8 of this passage, the unfathomable riches of Christ. Beyond your wildest dreams and wildest imagination, you have been endowed with spiritual wealth in Christ, but wealth that is unknown, misunderstood, or not accessed can keep you living in spiritual poverty. I want you to decide to live underneath this and live by means of this grace. Remember, grace is succinctly defined as God's unmerited favor. It is more broadly defined as the inexhaustible goodness of God that he provides that cannot be earned, is not deserved, and would never be able to be repaid. Remember, grace is always free. Can't buy it, you can't earn it, you can't work for it, you can't deserve it. God can only give away grace. One of the reasons why we do not experience the grace that God gives away is we try to earn the unearnable. You can appreciate grace, you can show gratitude for grace, but you can't earn it. Amen. It is the nature of the word. That's why in our series we have spent so much time distinguishing grace and law. Law is the rules you try to keep to make God happy. Grace refers to the rules you keep because God has made you happy. It is a different approach to life. And because Christians are not overwhelmed with the principle of grace, they do not experience the wealth that comes with that principle. There is a Greek word used in verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. It's translated here stewardship. There's another translation of it. But the Greek word is pronounced oikonomia. It's translated stewardship, depending on the version of the Bible you have. It's translated administration. Other versions translated dispensation. The word oikonomia referred to the management of a household, how a household is run, how you run your house. That's kind of how the word was used. God's household is his kingdom, his rule in history, and he manages it a certain way. Throughout history, God has staged his management in different ways. And with Adam, there was trees in the garden, and that's how he managed things then. Of course, under Moses, he managed Israel by the Mosaic law. He had stages of management in what we call the progress of revelation. That is, the unfolding of biblical history was managed in different ways at different times, like a person may manage his household differently with small children versus how he manages it when they become teenagers. There is stages of management based on the progress of the people involved. He says that this household management today is the administration or the stewardship of grace. So in this era of human history, the stage that you and I are in today is a stage underneath this banner called grace. It is a dispensation, a stage in which God manages his kingdom program and purposes. It is a stage in the governance of God. This stage has been given numbers of names in Scripture. For example, the New Covenant. You can read about it in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 13, where he talks about the fact that there is this new arrangement, not an old covenant, Old Testament. There is a new way God is handling things now. Not under the law, under the old, it's under grace, under the new. I know I'm being somewhat technical and theological and grammatical at this point, but hopefully you will see it come together as we proceed in understanding this dispensation or managerial rule of God under the new contract, the new covenant. The old contract has been torn up, and there has been a new contract signed that you and I are now living under. So if you go back to the old contract, you're living under old rules. The new dispensation or saga in which you live is called the saga of grace. Grace is a different environment. It's like moving from Las Vegas to Jerusalem. That's a whole different world. And if you're so attached to Las Vegas, you won't have the same appreciation for Jerusalem, because the environment is different. Grace is a different environment, a different dispensation. God has established a new contract, and the old contract is no longer the contract in which he is now operating. God's kingdom is always God's kingdom, but the rules by which it operates today is the rule of grace. So it's a different environment in which you and I are now operating. So I want you to understand this environment, because if you can shift the environment, it affects all of your life, all of my life. And you have to grow in grace. We started with this passage. Grow in grace, grow in your understanding of it, because the more you understand it and access it, the more you can utilize it and benefit from it. If you go back to chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, you'll find grace all through this book. Let me help you to be oriented to it. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." In grace, blessings have already been allocated. Under the old contract, you had to do stuff to get blessed. Under the new contract, blessings have been pre-given by grace. So you no longer earn your blessing. You no longer earn your victory. It's been pre-done. Notice the ED on the word blessed in verse 3. You have been blessed, blessed already. The problem is where the blessings are located. He says in heavenly places, means the spiritual realm. So the issue now is accessing. It's like I said, I put money in your bank account. I have already blessed you with $1,000 because I have deposited it. So no longer is the question, do I have $1,000? Now the question is accessing it. Not trying to get it. Because the moment you try to get it, you're under the old contract. You have already been blessed. So let me put it another way. All that God is ever going to do for you, he's already done. He's already done. It's a matter of access now, not earning, because grace can't be earned. So all of God's blessings, whatever is his favor on your life, to your life, in your life, through your life, has already been deposited.
Dr. Evans will tell us more about how to make withdrawals from that account when he continues our message in just a moment. First, time is running out to request the follow-up book Tony put together to go along with our current series. It's called The Grace of God and picks up where our current study leaves off, focusing on the gift we literally can't live without. You'll discover how the power of grace can help you overcome obstacles you could never get around on your own by actually changing you from the inside out. If you contact us by tomorrow, we'll be glad to send it to you as our thank you gift when you make a contribution of any amount. The Alternative is a listener-supported ministry, so it really comes down to the fact that without your faithful support, we wouldn't be here. So visit TonyEvans.org before the day's out tomorrow, make any donation God leads you to make, and let us send you a copy of The Grace of God. Along with it, you'll get CDs of all 12 messages in our brand new teaching series, The Magnificent Grace of God, and a Bible study resource DVD full of custom content from Tony. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call us at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. Dr. Evans will come back with more of our message right after this.
Connect with Jesus in a deeper way, not just by reading about him, but by actually experiencing him through the power of world-class teaching. The Tony Evans Training Center provides online learning in an understandable and refreshing way. Make the pages of your Bible come alive through courses covering a wide range of subjects. Isn't it time to begin a biblical adventure? We're here to guide you as you go. Just visit us at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org to receive your first month free. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
Let me go a little deeper, 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he has freely bestowed on us in the beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace. I want you to zero in on a phrase here. It says that this favor, these blessings, have been, according to verse 6, freely, because grace is always free, so we get this word free again, has freely been bestowed on us in the beloved. Now, he could have said, have freely been bestowed on us in Christ Jesus, but he doesn't say that. Instead, he uses another word for Christ Jesus. He uses the word beloved. So God wants you to know something more than just Jesus' name. He wants you to know Jesus' special relationship. He is the beloved. You remember when Jesus was being baptized and heaven opened up and a voice came down from heaven? This is my beloved son. And what did it mean to be his beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased? So when he says that your blessings are in the beloved, which is referring to Jesus Christ, guess what that means spiritually and even maybe more practically, psychologically? It means you no longer have to earn acceptance. Because you have already been accepted and endowed and bestowed merely by your relationship to the one who he is already pleased with. Amen. So watch this now. That means God is already pleased with you. Now, that doesn't mean he's pleased with everything you do. But he is pleased with you because he's pleased with him and you are in the beloved. So since God is so awestruck by Jesus Christ and you are in Christ, if you have become a Christian, he's now awestruck with you. Just as God can't get Jesus off of his mind because he's his beloved son, he can't get you off of his mind either. You see, a lot of people are trying to earn God's acceptance like they're trying to earn their parents' acceptance, like they're trying to earn their mate's acceptance. And God is saying, you're trying to earn what you already have. Because when I see Christ, I see you because you're in Christ. And the favor belongs to you because it belongs to Christ. You're already accepted, highly favored, surrounded by favor. Now, if the enemy can keep you from knowing that, if the enemy, because that's how he gives you defeat, if he can keep you knowing that you are already accepted, already pleasing, already embraced, then you'll be fighting for something you already have, which you'll never be able to locate because you're locating something you already have. So you've got to begin, I've got to begin, we've got to begin thinking differently, because now when you think of yourself as accepted in the beloved, the way to feel better about yourself is to not you finding you, because you don't even know if you found you, if you don't even know who you're looking for. It's not you finding you, it's you finding the beloved. Because you're accepted in the beloved. So it is how much you embrace Christ as a lifestyle, as a way of running the house, as an koinonia, that you will feel better about you because God is so impressed with him and he connects you with him, that the more connection you have with him, the more connection you have with him. Because you're already accepted. You're already okay. You're already victorious. You're already blessed. So stop looking for something you have and start enjoying something you've got. The Bible says in 1 John 4:17, as Christ is, so are we in the world. So God connects us with Christ. So what we must learn to do is practice Christ's presence in our lives. Because we're accepted in the beloved. How much should your life and my life be consumed with the person and the presence of Christ? Verse 10 says, with a view to an administration. That's our word, a koinonia. The household, the way God is running things. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, watch this, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. Here is God's philosophy of history, that all things are to be summed up, added up, totaled up in Christ. So watch this. Every area of your life is to get plugged into your relationship to Jesus Christ. He is your point of reference for everything, because he is God's point of reference for everything. And watch this now, to the degree that you now connect everything in your life to Christ, is to the degree that you will experience everything God wants you to have from Christ. One of the reasons that we don't experience more of this blessedness is because we visit Christ, we don't live with him. We don't live in the house with him. We visit him on Sunday. We visit him with devotions. We visit him. But he is to be, but you must, I must, we must practice Jesus' presence in all of life. It's all about Jesus Christ when it comes to experiencing or accessing the grace that you have already been given. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 32. Peter is walking on water. Peter's walking on water. When you're walking on water, he's walking on water in a storm. So circumstances aren't good. It's thundering, lightning, the waves are billowing, but he's walking on top of bad situations. Anybody got a storm? You either have one, you have one, or we'll be in one. Because storms just happen. But he's walking on top of a problem. But the text says in Matthew 14 that he began to look at his circumstances. Now, wait, man. Those were the same circumstances he was walking on. So there was no change in the circumstance. There was a change in his focus. He started looking at the winds and the waves, and it says, and he began to sink. It says it was in the midst of him sinking, going under, that he refocused on Jesus. And the Bible says when he refocused on Jesus, Jesus reached down and pulled him back up. Circumstances may not change. It was still storming. But focus can change. Jesus must become, for to experience his full measure of grace, your all-encompassing focus. As the song used to say, Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. That's why Paul can say, pray without ceasing. It means bringing Jesus into anything. Sometimes you do it with your mind. Sometimes you do it with verbal prayer. Sometimes you do it with consecrated time. But it's just keeping on bringing Jesus into everything. And then you're sucking from grace.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final story about what grace can do for us once we get our focus firmly on Jesus. Be sure to stay with us. First, though, we only have one more lesson to go in Tony's brand new series, The Magnificent Grace of God. That makes tomorrow your last chance to get all 12 messages in this collection as our gift to you when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any size, along with the resource DVD I told you about and his short companion book for this series, The Grace of God. Just drop by TonyEvans.org, where you can get all the details and make your donation online. While you're there, be sure to check out our huge selection of audio, video, and print resources. And take a moment to sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us more about how to respond when someone who owes you nothing gives you everything. Don't miss this look at why living under grace changes the way we see everything, including our difficulties. Right now, though, he's back with this final thought.
Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. When circumstance pushes you down like a ball in water, grace will pop you back up. Talk about get your praise on, you know. And a lot of that's fake because somebody up front told you to do it. But once you begin to see grace work, you won't need a preacher or a song leader. Because you will be responding to grace, not trying to find it.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.